Now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Tara, the quiet one. The one that sits in the corner, but it's just the two of us today.
Yep. Today on the show, I catch up with Tom Goss. Plus, I've got a few of his latest tracks too.
Mm. And Ez brings us a queer story on the non-binary.
Yeah, queer story. Yeah. Oh, I think that's how you say it. Yeah, queer story. All today, right here on Shout Out. Ba-dum-bum-bum. Hello.
I got it wrong.
You got it wrong? Got what wrong?
Too early.
Oh, right, I see all the bums, yeah. So, and I don't know which one he's on. Hang on, is Terry there? Are you there? You are there, yeah, I can hear you.
Hang
on, which one are you coming through on? In the background. You're very quiet.
Yeah, even quieter than me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is super quiet. Hang on, let me see if I can turn him up a little bit.
Boost me, go on.
There we go. So, hello, mate, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. All poised for news.
Yeah, in case you're wondering, Terry's remoting in. I know it sounds like he's here through the magic of the internet, but
he's actually underneath
his stairs at home.
I am.
So,
back in the studio next week, live and direct.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool we can do this kind of stuff, though. It's how we do things like the march when we do Pride as well.
COVID.
Absolutely.
The power of COVID, I think we all learnt to be different.
Thrust us forward.
Yeah.
So. Keep your thrusting to yourself.
So, now, did either of you two watch Eurovision?
Yeah, I did.
What did you think?
I really enjoyed it. It's always a good drama fest, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the politics. It's very exciting.
Politics this year, though. Oh, my gosh. And backstage as well. It all looked kind of fine and dandy on the outside. Yeah. But of course, one of the acts actually got expelled and sent home.
The Dutch one. Yes.
Yeah. So apparently that was for having a go at a member of the staff.
So
they haven't really said much about what happened. But of course, there was all the controversy over not being allowed to have non-binary flags and trans flags and
Palestinian flags
Gaza
as well.
And the like. So yeah, they're saying it's one of the most political ones we've ever had.
And there was the Egyptian entry as well, causing that chaos as well.
Oh, was there?
Them being there was some people were...
It's a contingent.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
Didn't know that.
So, anyway, my favourite to win was Rim Tim Taggy Din, didn't, which was a shame, but it was a good song. But I did love the Code, which ironically was a non-binary artist. So after controversy, the win is a non-binary person. But good
and
on them.
And they did smuggle in one of their non-binary flags in there, which was great to see as well.
Yeah. And the booze when they went to the... guy from the Eurovision themselves, you know, the guy that says yes, all the accounting's done officially, you can now go, and the camera pans to him, he's like boo.
Oh, that's a shame. But
it made for a very, very eventful night's TV. So, and of course it was
Doctor Who
preceded by two Doctor Who's. Not so sure I was that keen on the baby episode, the first one, Babies in Space.
A lot of people have said it's not the strongest.
No.
But the second episode that was broadcast with Jinx Monsoon as Maestro.
God, what an actress.
What a performance.
Yeah, absolutely amazing that. In fact, I edited it out of the bit. Me and Tom Goss were talking about that halfway through the interview.
All right.
So. Is he a Who fan, is he?
You'll hear it in the interview in a minute, but basically we were talking about him working with Dragax and whether it was difficult or not, and as a side note, we ended up talking about Doctor Who and that performance, and even Russell T Davies was saying, you know, he was not expecting the performance to be as good as it was. He said
it was totally amazing.
Blew his expectations out of the water.
And it has been totally, you know, loads of Doctor Who fans have said it's absolutely fantastic, one of the great villainous performances of the show's long history.
And if you watch, because they do a behind-the-scenes Who.
The Hedgehog, not
that BBC
You can watch, or BBC Three, or it's on iPlayer as well.
Yeah.
And they actually talk to the guy who plays the character, who is obviously a drag queen in real life, and they're really quiet and subdued. And when asked, you know, how do you like playing it, they're like, well, because it's not me, it's really fun to play someone who's nasty, because I'm normally a really nice person, you know, and I can get that. That's kind of quite cool. But yeah,
villains
really well
the
played.
Best lines in all drama. Yes. You always have done from Shakespeare back.
What, the evil ones?
Absolutely, yeah. You want to play the Master or Davros or the Klingons or whoever. You know?
Klingons, yeah. On the Starboard Bow.
Yes, you show your age there.
Yeah. So, but yes, I think Doctor Who's running for a fair few weeks now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think into July.
Back on Saturdays. So taking us all the way up to Pride, which would be something we'll be coming round to a lot more in the coming weeks. Because we will be there. We'll be broadcasting Bristol Pride live this year. So
through the March.
Forward to it.
And, yeah, from the March as well.
Yeah.
So
roving reporters right there.
Anyway, yeah, Tom Goss, lovely guy. Ironically, every time we talk to him, he moves. As you'll hear, last time we spoke to him, he was moving house in America, and now he's just convinced his husband to move to Barcelona. So they're in Barcelona at the moment. But it was actually lovely to catch up with him. I haven't spoken to him in years, and it wasn't me who interviewed him last time either. It was Ivan, I think. So it was actually great to talk to him before. I will apologise, Nvut. There are a couple of bleeps in this. I have taken the bad words out. But what you're allowed to say on American radio and what you're allowed to say on British radio are two very different things.
Tom
wasn't aware of it. And it wasn't until we were in the interview and he was saying them that I then realised I hadn't actually briefed him that we can't say certain things on British radio. So rather than re-record it, because it was such a good interview, I didn't want to do that. I bleeped the odd word for
you. Can I go out as a podcast without the bleeps?
It could, but I don't know if I've don't know if I've got it. I mean, you know what he'll say anyway, okay. So you can tell it from it. So anyway, we had a wonderful chat, and I've got some of his latest music. He very kindly sent it to me, so I've got a couple of songs of his as well. One of the ones that you hear him mention, I've got coming up afterwards. So have a listen to this. This is me having a chat with Tom Goss. If you've been listening to the show at least 10 years, you'll definitely know the next name, play his music since we last spoke to him about 10 years ago. But I'm very pleased to welcome back the lovely Tom Goss. Tom, welcome to Shout Out again.
It's great to be here.
It's lovely to have you back. I was just looking, I think it was about 10 or 11 years ago. Did you say you were here in Manchester around that kind of time, 2014-ish?
Yeah, I played the Great British Bear Bash, I want to say 2014. That sounds right to me.
Wow.
And I think that was when we did this.
Yes. I think it was lovely Ivan who interviewed you back then. But I remember playing the music. And of course, because we like having gay artists on the show. So your music does come around and get played several times since then. But give us an idea. I mean, what have you been up to? It's been such a while since we've caught up with you. I think you've moved, haven't you? And have you been back to England since? And
are you asking me to recap my last 10 years of my
life? Well, in a nutshell, I mean, it looks like you've done an awful lot of music, haven't you, since we last
Let me think. So probably 1, 2, 3, 4 records, 4 full records since we last talked, many music videos, many tours. I did play in London twice since I've seen you, but only in London. I've only been back. I did, and I played in Edinburgh once. So yeah, I'm in Spain right now.
I know,
so
yes.
I'm just down the road from here. Yeah,
not as far away as normal, that is. So, and did I see you've even been in a film or two as well?
Yeah, I'm actually currently on a television show on Here TV called Not So Straight in Silver Lake. But yeah, I was in a movie called Out to Kill. That was 10 years ago. And I've been in a couple things since then. I did move to Los Angeles, so I live in Los Angeles. I'm trying to convince my husband to move to Barcelona. That's why I'm here right now. So you know, you're meeting me because when we talked last, I was on the precipice of moving to Los Angeles, and now I'm on the precipice of some other crazy change. So maybe you guys are the motivation for all of my running from my problems.
So does this mean, do you speak any Spanish? Are we going to start getting songs in Spanish come out from you?
Un poquito, and I did have a song in Spanish come out in 2019. It was on my record called Territories. It's called La Bufadora.
Oh, nice. So what's, I mean, it sounds like it's a little bit up in the air for me to ask if you're not sure if you're moving and the like, but I'm guessing music's going to be a big part of your life, whatever. Have you got things in the works, in the plans at the moment?
Yeah.
I think I last looked, unless Wikipedia's not up to date, the last thing I could see was Best Life in 2021.
No, I put out a full record called Remember What It Feels Like in 2023. That's about 10 months old. So it's a really super fun record. If you haven't listened to it and you're not spinning it, then shame on you. I released a new music video about a month ago called Not My Problem. And it features Meatball, the drag queen Meatball. So it's like a super hoot. I can send it to you. You should watch it. Just Google Not My Problem, Tom Goss. It's such a fun hoot. It's kind of like a you breakup anthem, more or less. And I released a record in 2023. And I'm kind of wrapping up another one right now. I've been scoring a film and working on a new record and working on a couple other projects and working on some new music videos. I'm just kind of always churning, which is good and bad, but I'm always making a lot of things.
Was it hard work working with a drag queen? Our experience in working with them can leave a little bit to be desired, shall we say, sometimes. They can be quite difficult. How did it go?
Well, I work with drag queens a bunch of times. I love working with Meatball. Meatball is a complete and utter joy. So, I've worked with a lot of drag queens over the years. Manila Luzon is featured on my 2016 release, Click. I've worked with Meatball in this capacity. Banaka is in the music video. Banaka actually passed away last year. Banaka is in my music video, Bears. So I've worked with drag queens in a lot of different capacities. And I have a great time. I mean, look, you're dealing with big personalities.
Yes.
And that's just something that you have to understand from the onset.
So what's next then? What's have you got something coming up, or are you taking a pause to have a look around Barcelona at the moment?
Well, I have a new music, like I just released a new music video a couple weeks ago. And I'm currently on the road, so I'll be performing in Lisbon in a couple weeks, and then I'm performing in the Midwest, and then I'll be back in Europe. I'll be back in Europe in July, performing in Germany and Belgium, and I'm thinking about hopping over to the UK, but I haven't decided yet. I've been a little, you know, siesta-ing over here and not as motivated as usual.
Well, if you do, you know, you'd be more than welcome to drop in on us. We'd absolutely love to have you live on the show. That'd be amazing.
I would love that. So,
but what's your inspiration these days? Because I remember when we talked to you a decade ago, it was very much about your life and experiences and the like. Is that still ring true, or are you taking more in, whether you're getting more cultured, like with Spain and Germany? I mean, they're such different countries to America.
Yeah, I mean, I think as an artist, you're always drawing from what you know or what you see or what moves you. You know, you're not writing songs about things that aren't of interest to you. So this next album is really kind of a little bit more on the Americana spectrum. Like, I've felt really connected to my guitar and kind of those really warm, organic sounds. And I really wanted to tell, like, super queer stories. Like, tell really beautiful love stories or lost stories, but from a very uniquely queer perspective. And that's really what has been driving me right now, because, you know, I don't know, I just feel so grateful to be gay and to be, like, in this world where I can experience this abundance of, like, queer joy and queer love and queer experience. And that's kind of what I've been leaning into for this particular record.
But you must have noticed the changes going on in the world. I mean, it feels a little bit like we're going backwards with equality at the moment. I mean, I'm super proud to be gay myself. And I know the team who are every LGB and T that we've got. But everyone seems to be feeling a lot more of that pressure at the moment.
You know, it's hard. You know, it's hard to speak to what the future will be, right? Mm-hmm. All I know is that my job as an artist and my job as a human is to work to create the future that I would like to see personally. And I do that by trying to normalize queerness in song, in video, in action, and in the way that I walk down the street, the way that I interact with people every single day. And my hope is that in being a the wonderful gay person that I am, that it helps change the world and change the world's perspective on what it means to be gay or queer or trans or bi or whatever it may be. And that's all I can really do. I do sometimes have concern about the way that the world is going, and more specifically in America, with, like, you know, the rise of Trumpism is very frightening, and I particularly don't enjoy it. So, but at the end of the day, I can't control how other people behave. I can only control how I behave and the life that I put out into the world, and that's what I focus on.
Yeah, good on you. I can't say I blame you. It's hopefully it'll go back to being a progressive going forward, but you never quite know with these things, do you? But if one thing is always there, it's going to be music.
Exactly. And everything's a pendulum, right? Like, it's no surprise to me that our first Black president was followed up by Trump, you know, because that's what we do. We swing back and forth over and over and over again. And hopefully when you find, like, the median of all of that, it's moving in the positive direction. And I think we could say that it is. Yeah. But, you know, you just kind of have to weather the and then ride the wave when it comes. It's like life.
So are you one of these people that, like, suddenly will get an inspiration for a song in the middle of nowhere and you have to have a notepad to write it down? Or do you actually sit down and go, right, I'm now going to concentrate on writing a piece? When I spoke to artists before, they all seem to have such different ways of doing it.
I would say both and. Yeah. Like, for me, I've written, you know, thousands of songs at this point in time in so many different contexts. And every project's a little different. You know, there's this song that I wrote when I was in Barcelona in October that's called Barcelona. And it's about this thing that I saw. And so as soon as I saw it, I knew it was going to be a song. And it wasn't until that I started playing with the guitar to figure out what that song looks like. But there's other times when I just pick up the guitar and I'm playing the guitar and something sounds nice to me. I like that chord. I like that note. I like that progression. And so I just sing and kind of, like, whatever comes out of my mouth is what the song becomes. And I say, but oftentimes, you know, I think the true skill of a songwriter is turning off. It's not like being the best lyricist. It's like turning off that which writes words so that your soul can speak the words instead of your brain. And that comes in a lot of different forms for me. Sometimes my soul is moved by the music. Sometimes my soul is moved by an idea or a conversation or a word or a phrase or a turnabout. Every single song kind of is a little different, to be honest with you. I don't ascribe to only one way of writing.
Cool. I mean, I only ask, it's one of the questions we get asked, is how do the artists write their songs? It's one of the things that people seem to be the most curious about when we're talking to them. So,
can I tell you something, Eddie? It's not magic. It's practice like anything else. Like, anybody can learn to write a song. You just have to do it, like, a million times. It's like, how do you build a house? If I know, but I bet you if I worked as, like, an apprentice for a builder, 5 years later I know how to build a house. It's kind of the same thing. It's not as magical as people make it out to be.
Cool. Well, listen, it's been lovely catching up with you. Hopefully we'll get you over here some point soon, and perhaps we'll get you on the show live as well. But for the listeners, if they want to find out more about you or where you're touring, etc., you got a website, haven't you?
Yeah, everything's at Tom Goss Music. So if you go to socials, it's at Tom Goss Music. That's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. And my website is tomgossmusic.com. So I'm keeping it real easy for you.
Cool. Listen, if you are listening and you haven't heard Tom sing, do check out his music. It's absolutely brilliant. We love it and we play it quite a lot on Shout Out. But for now, thank you so much for joining us, Tom. It's been lovely to catch up with you. And best luck for the future.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Andy. Have a good one.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Not My Problem by the lovely potty mouth Tom Goss. Were you counting the bleeps there, did you?
Six or seven.
I only count one hand.
So, yeah, no, that was totally my fault, not Tom's. I should have warned him before. It just didn't occur to me because, you know, he's been on the radio before and you get so used to people already knowing it. So, or just not being potty mouthed in the first place. So it's not a problem.
Probably very relaxed then, yeah.
So, but yeah, sorry, Tom.
Good interview, though.
So it definitely holds the record for the most number of bleeps I've ever done in an interview.
Sounds like a challenge for somebody there.
No, don't challenge them. But like, if someone will do it live on air, and there will be big problems.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, the lovely Mr. Starr, do you have some news for us?
I do indeed have news for you.
Cool.
Here's Shoutout News, welcome along. Opposition politicians, including Caroline Lucas of the Green Party and Diane Abbott of the Labour Party, have joined forces to condemn a government proposal, which was reported by the BBC News Channel, to make it mandatory for teachers to tell young transgender people that there are no such thing as different gender identities. Pink News explains that reported plans have been widely criticised by politicians, activists and experts as a new Section 28, a reference to the Thatcher-era legislation banning the supposed promotion of homosexuality in classrooms in England from 1988 until it was repealed in 2003. Caroline Lucas said that the government was politicising sex education, which was felt by most parents to be perfectly adequate and not at all inappropriate. Ms. Abbott agreed, saying that comprehensive relationships education was essential for protecting young people from abuse and exploitation. Labour MP Nadia Whittam similarly criticised the decision, telling journalists, "Sex and relationship education is vital for helping to keep children and young people safe and healthy. It is already taught in an age-appropriate way by schools." Once more, the Daily Mail newspaper managed to report the story in a sensational way, rabbiting on about a transgender takeover of schools, which, of course, for which they presented no evidence. LGBTQ Nation, the stateside newswire, reports that the author Joanne Rowling continued to battle with progressives on social media, asking those who oppose her transphobia whether she could call herself black if she got into Motown music and wore her hair in cornrows, thus deeply offending many people of African and Caribbean heritage. Black civil rights campaigners expressed horror at this appropriation of their identities. Sasha Sinclair wrote, "With all due respect, keep the black community out of your mouth, please. We have real problems without culture vultures using racist tropes to justify their bigotry. Find another analogy that doesn't involve punching down on black people." And True Rama on Twitter wrote, "Racists, please stop using black people to support your bigoted arguments when your backs are against the wall. It is embarrassing." Other comments collated by Alex Bollinger over at the LGBTQ Nation include, "Why do white transphobic people bring black people into this? Leave us out, please. Plus, you're making a false equivalence between race and gender, even though they're both constructs, but you're too steeped in transphobia to understand how this works." One person also drew attention to Ms. Rowling's track record on diversity, saying, "So, your book's racist stereotypes do match your real-life race."
Society wishes us to believe. North American Indigenous history includes the presence of two-spirited folks, which typically take on social roles that are outside our traditional gender notions. Even though the term two-spirit originated in 1990, what we would today consider to be non-binary persons existed throughout Indigenous history. Many Indigenous people use this term to describe a range of gender, sexuality or spiritual identities, with two-spirit considered an umbrella term that takes in a wide range of Indigenous identities and expressions that don't conform to the typical gender binary. In 1770, soldier and explorer Don Pedro Fage recorded the communities, what would now be called two-spirited folks, in his diary, and also encountered their higher social positions within the native cultures. Moreover, in the early 1800s, Edwin Denick, a trader who stayed with the Crow Nation for more than a decade, talked about how the traditional women's roles were performed by men, and it was largely accepted and even admired. I mean, if the early 16th and 17th century aren't history, well, I don't know what is. Furthermore, the 4,000-year-old history of the Hijrada community in India is not only recorded in ancient Hindu texts, but also in classical art sculptures. The term Hijra includes eunuchs, transgender people, and intersex folks, although it was in 2014 that the government of India legally acknowledged the Hijra community as a third gender category. They existed before the Kama Sutra was written, around the 2nd century. It's notable that after the British colonisation of the Indian subcontinent, the Hijras became one of the most marginalised communities in the country. An example of gender nonconformity from the 18th century and an individual level is the Chevalier d'Eon, a French soldier and spy, living the early parts of their life as a man and later as a woman until they passed away. Chevalier d'Eon won a fencing match while wearing a dress against a male-identifying individual. The gender fluidity of d'Eon is very well depicted in the many portraits exhibited in the UK, as their presentations of both typically male and female dressing are highly visible. Introducing Chevalier d'Eon as an example here is not to speculate and confirm their non-binary identity, but it is to highlight the fact that gender non-conformity presentations have existed for several decades. It's not the influence of TikTok, Instagram or drag shows that initiate people to live outside the traditional roles of the gender binary, it's just a natural variation in human experience. And further examples of visible non-binary identities throughout history are abundant. We look at the Kothoi people of Thailand, encompassing varying feminine identities, including transgender women, effeminate gay men, or intersex folks who present as women. Kothoi is a celebrated, to some degree, third gender in Thailand, and dates back to the origin myths of Buddhism. Elsewhere in history, classical Mesopotamian history mentions the presence of Pelippi, a group of devotees who were brought up as women but have the genders transformed by Inanna, the goddess of war, sex and justice. Similarly, the men who became priests worshipping Inanna were known as the Gala and had to adopt all female responsibilities at the time. These historical instances of knocking down the gender binary dates back to the 23rd century BCE. Yet another example, the Jewish ancient texts identify not three, but six terms for gender diversity, showing that gender categories have the capacity for expansion, as it has clearly been happening since before any of us were even born. Refusing to accept the presence of non-binary identities today is to be ignorant of their vibrant yet largely unrecognised history. Unquestionably, the historical accounts mentioned above are only a few of the many important histories of non-binary representations. So next time someone writes off non-binary identities as some trendy new concept, feel free to use these examples to smack back at their ignorance. We, the LGBTQIA+ community, are told, do not live in fear. Do not live your lives differently just because you are not heteronormative. While this is easy to say, but right now we are facing more discrimination than we could have ever prepared for. Within the wonderful queer community, there are neurodivergent folks, people with disabilities, people living with trauma. There are people who are feeling completely alone, out or not, feeling that they have nobody and nowhere to go, but you do. Remember, the loudest voices are often, if not always, the minority. The LGBTQIA+ people have always been here since the beginning of time, but so has ignorance, hatred and idiocy. Queer people stand with one another in solidarity, and it is shown throughout all of history that people can literally beat us down and we will stand back up. So never think you're on your own. There's always someone or a group of people ready to sit with you, to talk with you, and will always care about you. If you are struggling right now, please access some of these wonderful supporting services. We have Being Gay is OK, bgiok.org.uk, and they provide advice and information for LGBTQIA plus people under 25. Gallup 0207 704 2040. They are an LGBT plus hate crime helpline. But there's also their domestic abuse helpline, which is 0800 999 5428. There's also the conversion therapy helpline, 0800 130 3335. And email them at help@gallup.org.uk. www.lgbtfoundation.co.uk. There's the LGBT Foundation, 0345 330 3030. And Mermaids, of course, 0808 801 0400. And Mindline for trans people, 0300 330 5468. So that's it for this Queerstory episode. Remember, you're loved, you're important, and you are valid. There will always be someone, somewhere, ready and willing to hear you. You do not need to feel alone, and in a world that tells us we are less than, you are more than.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Your winning Eurovision entry, that is The Code by Nemo, which means we're off to Switzerland next year.
Woohoo! Yeah. Yes. Cows and milk chocolate.
Yeah. So, did you like that one, Terry?
It wasn't my favourite from Eurovision. I thought our entry was really good, actually. Ollie Alexander deserved to do much better.
No, we didn't. We did fairly well. We were kind of in the middle, weren't we?
18th out of 31, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Not too bad.
Yeah, it was a lot better than we've had in previous years. Yeah. So, and Ollie Alexander himself said, you know, I've got like about a 1% chance of winning. Because
there's too much politics in it.
Yeah, I won't lie. I loved the song. I thought the staging of it was amazing, the way they were in that box and it looked like it was tilting and they were all being thrown around the box and it wasn't actually moving at all. It was kind of them and a bit of camera trickery. There were a lot of people who said that was absolutely outstanding. But I do think it was a weaker performance. Ollie Alexander, he can't belt a note out like some of them can. I mean, you listen to Nemo there, my God, that's a powerful performance, and he hasn't
got that,
you know. But I really like the guy. I think he's absolutely amazing. Does some amazing songs and been brilliant acting. I loved him in Russell T. Davies' series, It's a Sin. Sin.
Yeah, he was fantastic in that as well, wasn't he? Yeah,
so...
I agree.
Now, I don't want to end on a totally bad note, but I did want to ask you guys what you think of this new...
Schools?
Yeah. I mean, in short, the government are trying to bring in a ban on... And they're calling it sex education, but it's like even educating about... trans and non-binary, which isn't really sex education, it's just life.
I'm just exhausted of being thrown in the middle of the table as a kind of the dead cat to distract us from that, actually what's going on in the world.
I mean, people are calling it akin to a reoccurrence of Section 28, which if you're younger, was what Margaret Thatcher brought in with her government back in the late 80s, I think.
1988.
Basically forbade the teaching of homosexuality at
school. With a combination of the, you know, the NHS not being able to look after any teenagers anymore.
Yeah.
It's pretty dark out there.
Yes.
You know? The one place people, you know, you can't run to, can't talk to somebody at school anymore. So we're, you know, and if your parents are not exactly friendly, you know, some are great. There's some amazing parents out there, I have to say, but sometimes not.
Yeah.
Don't forget, though, that this is the end game for a government which is extremely unpopular.
Yep.
For whom... throwing trans people under the bus or any other minority. I mean, they're proposing clampdowns on homeless people, making it illegal to even be smelly in public.
Oh, that was hilarious. This is
them on their way.
Who defines how smelly you are?
Some people like you.
I'm sure they do. But the point is that it's bizarre, it's clutching at straws, and it may not come to fruition because we are looking at a public which sees through a great deal of this. Only Daily Mail readers believe it. And
they're dying off,
so we may have a change of government at the next general election. So I would say, hold tight.
We shouldn't single out the Daily Mail as well. Other really bad